God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, to go and do your will in your world, Lord God, and bring your people back to you. I ask now, Lord God, that you remove me, Lord God, and only let your will go forth. Let your people hear what you have for them to hear, Lord God. We ask for these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our song that we were just blessed with, Fill Me Up, I Want More of You. And God said to me, he says, I want more of you. God said, I want more of you. And as I was studying for the sermon today, I love the story of David. It's one of the most interesting and epic stories that comes through the Bible. Strictly, even on the basic level, if you aren't a believer, just for the events and occurrences that happen, it's far better than J.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. They got nothing on the story of David. It's an amazing, amazing story. And I said I'm going to spend time in the book of Samuel so I can get ready to have something for God's people. And as I was studying, the Lord stopped me. He said, we don't have to even get there. We're going to deal with Saul first. And Saul is very much like you and I. Saul was given a bad rap because we see the Saul that was out to get David. And that's what we spend most of our time talking about. But Saul was very much like you and I. In fact, we know that Saul was actually chosen to be king because he loved the Lord. That's forgotten oftentimes because of the things that became of Saul's life later. But Saul was following after the will of God, and that's what ultimately got him anointed to be the first king of Israel. But Saul began to develop a problem that we all wrestle with ourselves. Saul was at a fork in the road. He was a divided spirit. Saul had a personal agenda as well as God's agenda. And we can talk about his personal agenda. His personal agenda had many other offshooting parts. He wanted to please the people. He wanted to please himself. And he was even split on that because Saul had become a person who did not have the proper focus. Saul did not have the proper focus. And we can't look down on Saul and say, oh, Saul, can't believe you wouldn't listen and follow the God, because we ourselves oftentimes are in the very same spot. There are many a times when we sit back and we contemplate option A or option B. And we choose what to do based on what's best for us. We don't choose what's best for God or what God has told us to do. And so Saul gives us a perfect illustration of our daily lives and the walk that we go through. And we're going to see the choices Saul makes, and we're going to try and impart them in our own lives so that we can follow after God. And the title is very simple. The title is Follow God. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick backstory of Saul. Now, we know that he was the first king of Israel. And we know he was anointed by Samuel to do so. And he was chosen because he loved the Lord. The first descriptions we get of Samuel was that he was a tall man, pleasing to look at, one who feared God, but was humbled. He wasn't boastful. He wasn't always trying to show up and show what he could do. But then Saul received power, and the power changed who Saul was. Before Saul served God and put God first in all things that he did, but once he was given the kingdom, Saul began to focus more so on himself and the people. And he no longer made God his first priority. The Israelites were warriors. The Israelites were warriors whether they wanted to be or not. They were constantly in battle. They were constantly fighting off those around them. Warriors have a certain mentality in which they follow. You can equate them very easily to our modern day athletes. Athletes are very loyal to success. Stay with me. They're loyal to success. Athletes stick by winners. Very simple. You listen to the sports commentators and they say all these great things about these coaches because they win. It's that simple. It's that simple. Many of the players would tell you they don't like certain coaches, but they win. And they stand by winners. When a coach comes to take over a program or a team, he has to prove himself. He's got to get the players to believe they can follow after him and have success. Such is the case with Saul. Saul is the coach. Saul is the military leader of Israel. He is the king. The people fall in line with him. The first instance we see of Saul showing his leadership occurred as such. I think it was in Samuel 10 or so. But a group of people had come against the Israelites, and they told them, "We're coming to take over." And there's like, "Hold on. Let's make a truce." They said, "Here's the truce. Pluck out your eye, and there's your truce." So the Israelites said, "Well, let us go give us 7 days, and if we can't find help, then we will bow down and serve and follow you." So Saul hears of what's going on. And Saul then, in a very powerful way, slays and cuts up some of the oxen and tells the messengers, "Take these cut up pieces of the cattle and send them all across Israel and tell them, if they do not come and support me in this battle with our brethren, we're going to kill up all their cattle too." And the people were afraid of Saul's decree, and so they came. And they slew the adversaries of the time. And this was Saul's first victory. So Saul came on very powerful and with a level of fear. Saul ruled by fear and power. That's what he showed the people. So in the first 4 verses of this, we find out that Saul has just attacked the Philistines. The Philistines got mad. And we get to verse 5 in our story, and let's pick up the story. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sands which are on the shore in multitude." So they had 30,000 chariots, they had 6,000 horsemen, and a military they couldn't even count. There were only 3,000 Israelites to do battle. So they are infinitely outnumbered. And when the Israelites saw what was to come, in verse 6 it says, "When the men of Israel saw they were in danger, the people were distressed." They got worried. They said, "We have now upset this enemy, and they have brought a number of people against us that we cannot even count. So they got scared. And we see that they hid. It says, and then the people hid in the caves and in the thickets and in the rocks and in the holes and in the pits. They got scared and they hid. And these are the same people who earlier just got through beating up on them. These are the other people who, when Saul said, "I'm gonna kill all your cattle if you don't come," they said, "Okay." So they had already done well in battle following Saul. Stay with me. They were afraid of Saul. So what did they do? They followed after him. They were afraid of the Philistines. They hid. They're following after a naturalistic form. What they see is what they follow. Like many of us. So now his people are hidden and they're scared. And then we look and it says in verse 7, "And some of the Hebrews went over to Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead." Some of them left. They said, "We just getting out of here. We ain't even hiding. We gone." "As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling." So you got people who were with him like, "We scared, but we go stay together." So you got people who are, half of them are hiding. Some of them have left. And the people who are there are just terrified to the point where they are shaking. And let's be fair. The adversary and the people of those times, this was not, "Oh, well, you know, you can come on over and this will be peaceful." No, they're cutting out people's eyes. I mean, this is vicious warfare. There's none of this, what we have now, diplomacy, and we try and sign treaties, and you can't use certain tactics because those are deemed unfit. No, this is ruthless slaughter and death. And they know that's what's to come. They know that because that's what they also did themselves. So they understand what is in front of them. But Saul had been given orders from Samuel, from God. And it said, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed." So he was waiting for Samuel, the man of God, because Samuel told him, "Wait." But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. He's got a problem. His powerful messenger of God isn't there. He's got the largest army that the Israelites have dealt with. Numbers they can't count. His people are scattering. His people are fleeing. They're hiding. They're shaking. They're terrified. And he's the leader. He's the leader. And he just got the job. He just got there. This was in his second year or first year of his reign. So he's still proving himself to the people. And we know he's still proving himself because half of them are hiding and scared and shaking and leaving. So they don't 100% believe in Saul. And we also know that Saul was a young man. He was, I think they said, 30 years old. He was a young man. So they're like, "He's young, he's inexperienced, he's upset the Philistines, and now they're coming to take it out on us. And on top of that, your man of God is not here." So Saul developed a plan. He said, "I got to get the people, I got to get the morale up. I got to get the people back focused. We've got to go into this battle." And so Saul had a plan. He said, and Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. So he said, "I'm going to make a sacrifice to God so that he will be on my side. And so the Israelites will see the power of God, and we're going to go and win this battle." Good idea. It seems like a good plan. I'm going to perform a religious ceremony, show honor to God, and the people are going to see that, and they're going to say, yeah, he's got God on his side. We can go and do this. But there was one small problem. That's not what God told him to do. That's not what God instructed him to. God gave him a very explicit direction. He said, wait for Samuel. He said, wait for Samuel. He didn't say, act on your own accord. Do what you think is best. He told him to wait. And of course, it always happens like this. Verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him so he might salute him. Verse 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? What are you doing? What are you doing? Now, quick backstory. In the very chapter before this, Samuel just told the people. He said, look, I've been good to you. I've done all that God has asked me to do. I've neither cheated you or taken from you. And the people said, that's correct. He said, but you wanted this king to lead over you. This is what you wanted, and God gave it to you. He said, but if you follow after God, this is still going to work. I'm paraphrasing. He says, you will still be taken care of. So Samuel already told him, just do what God says, and everything's going to be okay. So when Samuel saw that he had offered the sacrifice, he said, what hast thou done? And then Saul began to justify what he had done. He began to explain and defend himself. He says, because I saw that the people were scattered and that thou camest not within the days appointed. So he turned around and you weren't here. You weren't here. They fleeing. I'm in charge and you didn't come. He called him out saying it's your fault. You weren't here. And because you were here and everything was going like this, I made a decision. And this is what I decided. And then he goes on and says, and the Philistine had gathered themselves together. And the enemy's right there. So I said, I don't want the Philistines to come down on us without making an offering to the Lord. So I did what I did. So he justified. He said, look, I'm doing the holy thing. I reached out to God. Did what I was supposed to do because you didn't do your job. And the people over here acting crazy. What else am I supposed to do? And we oftentimes find ourselves in a similar situation. We waited. We waited. And we decided that we had waited long enough. And we said, look, things are going bad. This is not what I expected. I've got to make this work. I have to make this work. I'm in charge. I've got to fix this. I'm going to do what I think is best to be done. But we have to understand that it's not about what we think is best. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what those around you are doing. It's about doing what God has commanded you to do. Saul was trying to win over the people. The thing that Saul failed to understand, and we ourselves forget, people are going to be up and down. Well, they're going to be up and down.
That's right.
You do good, they're going to support you. When you, things don't go like they think they should go, they won't support you. And too often in our lives, we try and justify what goes on because we're trying to please someone else. Well, I was doing it because of them. But you have to understand that when things get tough, them gonna leave you. They're not going to be there with you when things go wrong. But God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God has given you instructions and told you what is supposed to happen, it is up to you, the believer of God, to follow the explicit instructions of God. Samuel gave Saul instructions from God. And Saul, to his credit, waited 7 days. Or 6 days and, you know, a few minutes. He thought he, look, he said, I don't wait it. 7 days, I gotta go. I gotta make a move. God is not coming. It's up to me now. I'm the king. Saul had gotten confused by his power and his might. He thought that he could do the things needed to motivate the players, the troops, the people, his friends. He thought he could take over the situation. Many of good ideas have started off by, I'm just trying to help. And they end up blowing up in our faces because we did not follow what God had told us to do, or because we tried to rely on our own strength. We have to understand that it's not by our power. But Paul said we are made strong in our weakness. We have to understand that it's all through God. Let's go ahead and finish this up. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Let's talk about foolish for a second. To the natural eyes, everything Saul did made sense. Complete sense. We have a problem. I've added up the situation. This is what I think is the best course of action. And even to the Christian who didn't read the parts before, it sounded good. Offer a sacrifice, like he said, before the military comes down to fight us. Let's go ahead and get this prayer in. And let's go to battle. But the problem was, even though that sounded good, even though that was a good plan, it was not what God had told him to do. We cannot justify the things in our life because they sound like a good idea. Because it sounds like the Christian and godly thing to do. Your decisions have to be based on what God has for you. And here's the next thing. You've got to know what God has instructed you to do. And the only way for you to know what God's instructed you to do is for you to have a relationship with God. This thing about the foolishness, to the average person, it makes sense. But God says, my ways are not like man's ways. And we have to understand that it's not going to make sense to us all the time. And it comes a point where all we can do is stand. But God says, wait on him. So, he says, it was foolish. He says, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Had you done this, had you followed what God had asked you to do, your kingdom would have been established forever. Many of us are in a situation right now because we follow what we thought was a good idea as opposed to what God told us, and we're still dealing with that situation. We're still dealing with that. We're still fighting against that. When had we listened and followed through with what God had given us, we would be in a better situation right now. 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded. Some of us have missed out on blessings that were meant for us, but because we could not follow that which God asked us to, they went to someone else. Someone else now is holding the blessing that you should have had because you could not follow the instructions. But here's the interesting thing. God still kept Saul. God still watched over Saul. And God used Saul to still keep his plan into action. Many of us have come short, but God is still using you. And the thing is, God is still giving you an opportunity to repent.
That's right, brother.
Just like the Israelites shouldn't have had a king in the first place, but Samuel told him, he said, listen, as long as you follow after God, God will take care of you.
That's right.
And even the situations we're in now, God said, I will still be with you. I will still watch over, and it'll still be for your good as long as you follow after me. So at this time, I'm going to ask you, are you following after him? Have you accepted him into your heart? Have you let him be Lord of your life? Because now is the time. Now is the time to turn from that which you've been doing and come back to God. Accept Christ into your heart, because you don't know when it's going to be your last chance. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next minute, the next hour. But right now, you can accept God. You can accept Jesus Christ into your heart and say that he died on the cross for my sins, and I am forgiven, and I can have salvation.
He will save.
At this time, if you would like to accept Christ into your life, I give you the opportunity to come forward.